Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black. And joining me this morning, Dr. Brenita Adams Robinson. She's our Destiny Diva. She's also founder of Proverbial Peace Revive Ministries. And good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful, Twanda. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, we're talking about leadership. And I say leadership goes from the house to the corporate, to the boardroom.
It does.
Because you have to use a lot of things that you use in corporate America on your job or at your church or wherever you're a leader. Mm-hmm. You have to use those same qualities and at home to lead your family. And so we're talking about empowered leadership, hindrances, and setbacks. Because a lot of times we don't even realize that things are hindering us.
No, we don't. No, we don't. And we get caught up. And what people don't realize about leadership is it's not just commanding and authority. Mm-hmm. It's not just giving orders. And even in the household, you know, mom wants to give orders, dad wants to give orders. Mm. You got the workplace, give orders. And then when you give that order as someone in authority, you expect people to move.
Yeah.
You expect people to get it done. But how are they moving?
Yeah.
How are they getting it done? Are they doing things because they are scared of you?
Mm.
Or are they doing things because they respect you and you have engaged them enough that they want to achieve the same goals that you do?
Right. Like old school granddaddy, when granddaddy said move, you better move. If you still standing there, oh my God. Now he ruled out of fear. He ruled from fear because we were scared of him.
You were scared of him. Same with grandmama. My grandmother, if you didn't move, a shoe might hit the back of your head. Okay? So we learn that command, that authority. In authority, they speak, we move because we don't want the results of not doing to manifest ourselves. But in today's society, we want a little bit more engagement. So as I began to do my studies on the subconscious mind, you know, we're doing a lot of that talking in Woman to Woman, I began to listen to the various dynamics of the outcomes of not being completely healed on different areas of life. And I even see it in my workplace. I see it everywhere I go. There are those dynamics. You can tell something is driving this person to act this way.
Oh, yeah. I always say that. And, you know, people say, oh, she was terrible. She was this and she was that. And I always, and they say, oh, here she comes looking at the other side. You must look there because no person in their right mind is going to behave in a certain way. There are issues that have not been healed. They have some open wounds. They've never dealt with issues. I just told my husband's daughter the other day, I said, if you don't deal with your issues today, and we were talking about an older woman who's bitter, I said, you will grow up to be a bitter old woman like her.
That's right.
And
that's
right. I said, but we have to deal with that. And we got to see ourselves. How do you see yourself in the midst of that thing? A lot of people don't see themselves.
There you go. They don't see themselves. They don't want to see themselves. They see and don't want to believe what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely don't want to believe what people tell them about themselves. Because they're comfortable where they are. Most of us get in those woe is me positions, get on that pity pot. We get in that place of being stuck, and we get very comfortable there. So the question is, if you're comfortable in that stuck place, how many people are stuck with you?
Wow.
If you're comfortable in that woe is me place, how many people are you keeping in that bondage with you?
Yeah. Like your children.
Your children,
your
spouse, your extended family, the people you lead at work, the people you work with on the team, are they stuck in that place with you? And the answer is, if you're stuck there and they're letting you get away with it, they're stuck with you. So how do we identify what's holding us back in our leadership positions? First of all, we have to define that leadership. What is empowered leadership? And, you know, my doctorate is in leadership, so I've studied leadership ad nauseum, different styles, different presentations, different dissertations. The one leadership style that I think really kind of summarizes what most people would like to believe they do. And you know, as I said, would like to believe
yes,
they
ma'am.
Do.
Yes, ma'am.
It's servant leadership. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We all want to believe that we are servant leaders. And basically, servant leadership is that style that focuses on a mindset of serving the needs of others, serving the needs of those you lead, being in a position to help people become their best self. That sounds yes. so good, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I guarantee you, if you were to ask most leaders, because I've actually done it, what's your leadership style? They say, well, I like to consider myself a servant leader. Now, we've got several different styles, but so many times they go right to servant leadership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I listen to what they say they do. And to most people, servant leadership is just giving people an opportunity to talk to them, giving people an opportunity to be a part of a decision. That's not servant leadership.
Right.
It goes so much deeper than
that. It does. It does.
But servant leadership, when you're talking about empowering people to be their best selves, and you think about that with a mother or father empowering their children to be their best selves, when you think about a team leader empowering team members to be their best selves,
mm-hmm.
that's deep. You're saying that you are literally pouring into that person the best of you so that you can pull out the best of them.
Mm.
You're giving them the opportunity to grow, make mistakes, and not be ridiculed and
right.
cussed at and yelled at for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Stumble, and you're going to help them up rather than kick them and keep them down.
Right, right. Yes.
That takes a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
That takes someone who is psychologically aware of themselves. When you're talking about encouraging open communication, is that what, I mean, for real? You really want open communication? Can you deal with
open
communication?
Can you handle it? Right. No.
Okay?
No.
Can you deal with somebody telling you, you just plain old mean.
Right, right.
Can you deal with someone saying, you know something, I know you meant to say this, but the way you said that was offensive
mm-hmm.
and it hurt my feelings? Then you're going to react normally with, oh, I didn't mean that.
Right.
But that's what they got.
But, you know, Bernita, it's so interesting in us being in the second part of our lives past 50, seeing how leadership, employee-employer relationship, supervisor, you know, regular employees' relationships have changed. There was a time when you better not say anything to your supervisor or your manager, or you were going to be, if you couldn't get fired, you were going to have a hard time.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
that's
now right. everybody's so careful. Everybody's so politically correct. Everybody, you know, it's so crazy now to just see it, see the change that's happened.
And the change is happening because for the first time in the history of the world,
mm-hmm.
we have five different generations
mm-hmm. working in the workplace,
yes. at one time.
Yes.
And, you know, with the traditionalists, those who are 60 and over,
mm-hmm.
then, of course, they were raised in a place. You did not question.
Absolutely not.
You did not second guess. They said, do, you do.
Mm-hmm.
They said, go, you went. But progressively, starting with the Generation Yers, those 30 to 40-something-year-olds, mm-hmm. they began to have a voice. Still kind of compliant, but mm-hmm. still a voice.
Sort of.
Then you got the Generation Xers.
Mm-hmm.
They had a stronger voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got the millennials. Don't try it.
Yeah.
Okay?
Totally different.
So, mm-hmm. how do you lead? And this I'm going back to the home too, because your millennials are your upper teens,
yeah.
okay? And you got your younger teens there. They are raised in an environment where you only have both basically technology as their best friend.
Right.
So as a leader, your leadership style can't be command and control anymore.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Because you're going to lose a lot in the process.
They're, first of all, not going to hear you because you're speaking.
They're not going to hear you. And we see that with our millennials
yes.
in the workplace.
Yes.
And they're at the point now, they will tell you quick, I will quit and go back home to
mm-hmm.
my mama.
Mm-hmm.
And they go back home to mama.
Look, you hurt my feelings.
Yes, you did.
I'm out of here.
How dare you? You know? And don't you dare think I'm going to make this job my whole life like,
yeah.
you know, my
oh,
grandmother
yeah.
did or my
yeah.
mother did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I've got a life outside of work.
And once my 2 years is up and I'm bored, I'm moving on to the next gig.
I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because money is my driver. I want status. I want this. I want that.
Yeah.
So leadership has to take a new purview.
Mm.
But as I study that purview and I listen to people tell me how wonderful they think they are as leaders, but then you go to the employees, you hear another story.
Yes.
Just like when a mom and dad talking to you, they probably think they're the greatest mom and dads on earth. Go talk to the teen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You'll get a whole nother story.
Right.
So what's the disconnect? That's what I have been studying lately. What is the disconnect between how I perceive I am and how others perceive me?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I realized as I began to think about this thing is we are not emotionally intelligent beings in this world today.
Mm.
We are missing some things. Now, emotional intelligence is literally defined as my capacity to assess my own emotions, understand my emotions and my triggers, but at the same time assess the environment around me and understand the emotional charge and emotionally what's going on with others in that environment.
Because, you know, some people can't read a room.
Thank you.
When they're speaking, or for instance, take a comedian. If a comedian is up and nobody in the room is laughing at your jokes, but you keep on in that same vein. You don't turn the corner. You don't flip it. You don't do anything. And the only person in the room laughing is your mother. You didn't read the room.
You did not.
And you didn't change your flow according to the room. And so that's sort of like how we are sometimes. Sometimes we are so emotionally blind that we can't read the room.
And I'm going back to what you said because it was right on point. We refuse to change even when the evidence is right there.
Right, right.
Okay? And you know what? That the core of that is, this is how they should be acting, right?
They
should be laughing at my jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. So because you think they should be laughing at the jokes, in your mind, well, if I keep going, they will laugh.
Right, they'll get it, right?
Apparently you're not funny.
Right. Apparently.
I mean, come on now. So this is what happens in our environment, in our position as leaders. We think this is the way it should be happening. This is what I meant to happen. Mm-hmm. This was my intention. But that's not what happened. So are you emotionally observant enough, in tune enough, intelligent enough to say, okay, something's not clicking here.
Exactly.
What is it?
Mm-hmm.
Something's not connecting here. What is it? The reason I believe most of us don't ask that question is because if the answer is it's us, we don't want to hear it.
Exactly. No. Mm-mm. That's the truth. My fault?
We don't want to hear it.
Absolutely not.
Because if the answer is I'm the problem,
yeah,
then that means I need to do something differently. Right. And I'm comfortable doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is me. Look, this is me. I'm going to do me.
I've been doing me all my life.
How's it working for you? You know? Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it working? Even if it worked yesterday, if you want to get to a new place, will it work today for you to get to your new place tomorrow?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why all of us are, you know, so many of us are going round and round in a circle.
Yes.
We're just stuck in that circle.
We're doing that 40-year march around the mountain.
Come on now. And then
you don't have 40 years.
Opening, we're so used to that circle around the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
We've kind of got a hole that we're going into. We can't even climb out of the hole and won't ask for help.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a problem.
Yes, it is. It really is.
If we are not emotionally intelligent, and emotional intelligence, there are five levels for assessing your intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Are you self-aware? That means can you truly assess yourself and your triggers? Motivation, can you undergird the motivation of yourself and others?
Mm.
Self-regulation, when you know there's a trigger, can you control that trigger?
Wow.
So as not to react in a negative way?
Mm-hmm.
Empathy, can you empathize with what others are going through? Understanding, that doesn't mean you agree with them, but you understand, so you have a platform for discussion, dialogue, and collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the last one is social awareness. Can you assess what's going around you so you can engage people the best way and at the same time help undergird them to be the best of what they can be?
Wow.
Can you say that you are emotionally intelligent and you can assess these situations and say, yes, I can do this?
Mm-hmm.
The more you can control those five areas, the more intelligent, emotional intelligent you are. And research has shown that I don't care how high your IQ is, how mentally acute and smart you are, if you have a low EQ, emotional quotient, you will not be successful.
Yeah.
The higher your EQ, the greater your success
mm-hmm.
in every area of life.
That's
We're
right.
not talking just work. We're talking work, in social organizations, in church activities, even with your family,
mm-hmm.
as far as having a closely bonded family.
That's so true.
So why, if it's just that simple, get your EQ up, you're going to be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
No. Because it's not that simple.
Yeah.
Because the question you've got to ask, going back to your assessment of that comedian,
mm-hmm.
why can't that comedian understand that what he or she is doing is not working? It's obvious to everybody in the audience that it's not working.
Right.
So why can't that comedian assess that? It goes back to those subconscious drivers. Something in that person's mind says, what I'm doing, I'm going to continue to do because. And it's the because we haven't figured out yet.
Mm.
It goes back to something that you've experienced that keeps driving you in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't seem to get stuck out of that direction. When in our meeting, in our woman-to-woman meeting on this month, I equated that those strongholds to a car, traveling a car.
Mm-hmm.
You got the car looking good. That's your life. Everything looks good. You decide you want to go on a trip. In life, you decide you want to reach a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You get the car gassed up. You pack your bags. You got your map. Everything is laid down. You've mapped out your path, how you're going to drive, where you're going to go, when you're going to turn, where you're going to stop, where you're going to stay overnight. Everything is mapped out. You get in the car. You put the key in the ignition, and you don't move. Everything is there. Why aren't you moving?
No gas. You don't put your foot on the gas.
You don't put your foot on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in life, why don't you move? You got everything mapped out.
Yeah.
You know you want to do this. You know you got to interact with these people. You know you want to go here. If at a workplace, you know that this is, you're in a leadership position. You got a team. You got people who can get you there, smart people. You're in the home. You know you have children. You have a husband. You want to do this. You have a wife. But you can't get out of the mode of being stuck where you've always been that kept you bound.
Mm.
There's something going on in your subconscious mind that you need to deal with.
Wow.
And this is what we're not doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Normally, that goes back to something experienced, as always, either childhood or adolescence.
Yeah.
Because we get those things in our spirit, in our minds, and they drive our actions.
Oh, my gosh. Mine was fear. I grew up in an abusive household, and I was always afraid. And, you know, I discovered that not too long ago.
Wow.
In prayer, and I was asking the Lord some stuff, and he was saying, you grew up in fear, and you've always been afraid.
And let's go there for a minute.
Yeah.
That fear,
mm-hmm.
how has it hindered you now?
Oh, my God. Not now, but before, I missed some opportunities.
Yes.
I missed some opportunities.
Fear of failure.
Yeah, I missed some opportunities, and I missed some opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I missed a lot. Yes.
And for me, it was abandonment.
Yeah.
So I became a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you as an adult, you can always tell when you really do a self-assessment.
Yes.
And sometimes you may need some help getting there.
Mm-hmm.
But these are some of the cues that tells you if you are a leader and you have these dynamics going on, these are some subconscious drivers.
Absolutely.
There are some subconscious
mm-hmm.
drivers you need
mm-hmm.
to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
One, you go off the bat. You're literally a quick trigger. You go off the bat in a heartbeat. Something irritates. Somebody says something. Somebody does something. And for no reason, there is a reason, by the way,
yeah.
but for no reason, you seem to just go off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're screaming and you're ranting and you're raving and you're yelling. Your fear. Fearful of making decisions.
Yeah.
Fear of failing, fear of being ridiculed, fear of being mocked, mm-hmm. that keeps you from moving
it
and
sure
doing
does.
Anything different.
Absolutely. And it's a fight not to be afraid. And I'm not talking about the boogeyman or, mm-hmm. you know, any of that, but it's a fight not to be scared, not to be
yes.
fearful, not to take that opportunity that comes your way. I've been dealing with that for years, but I knew it was there.
Wow.
Yep.
And it took some digging for you to figure out where it came from, didn't it?
It did. It took me years. It took me years to really face that and say, oh, my God, I've just been scared my whole life. I stay under the radar. I like to do things behind mm-hmm. the scenes, mm-hmm. you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm. Like, and everybody else sees something so totally different.
Exactly.
Everybody else sees mm-hmm. the Tawanda who is dynamic, mm-hmm. who is powerful, who is empowered, who helps people. When you talk, people listen. That's what we see.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you see that now. But before, did you see any of that?
No way. Mm-mm. And my husband started telling me, you don't see what people see in you.
Exactly. And this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Those unresolved issues
Absolutely.
In your subconscious mind mm-hmm. driving you, and you don't even know it. Another one, being unsupportive.
Mm.
You know, backstabbing, undermining.
Yeah. Yes.
Because something has happened in your past to make you think you got to take care of you. Nobody else is going to do it.
Yep.
So you don't support anybody or anything. And in the workplace, that might even come off as you taking credit for what one of your team members
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm.
Taking it for yourself because you want to shine. You got to mm-hmm. take care of you. Nobody else is going to.
And another part of that is women that say, I hate women.
Yes.
What
That's
is that about? Yeah, but something happened to you?
Something happened.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you it was something that you saw with the women in your family
mm-hmm.
or somebody hurt you.
So deeply.
Who was a friend.
Right.
Who was somebody that you trusted
mm-hmm.
so deeply
mm-hmm.
that you want to have nothing to do. Because that dynamic happens with women who says, you know, all men are no good.
Exactly. Yep.
It's
yep.
coming from somewhere.
You got to look at that. Right.
You do.
Ask
you
yourself, why am I feeling this? I'm always self-examining. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I do it all the time. If I feel a certain way, if I'm offended by something, Lord, why am I offended by that?
That's right.
I want to know.
And that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
When you know you have these drivers, something's going on in your life, you're doing things that you don't want to do or you keep not doing things that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
your first step, you got to stop and ask what is really going on.
Right, right.
And understand this, you don't have to do it by yourself. If you can't figure it out, go to someone you trust to start
mm-hmm.
the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you see in me?
Right.
You know I want to achieve this, but I'm always stopping and starting. What do you think is going
mm-hmm.
on?
Mm-hmm.
Go to your church. Go to your pastor. Get you a counselor. There's no shame in getting a counselor
right.
if you need one.
Therapy
Get
is
you
great.
A life coach.
It's all great.
But do what you have to do
yeah.
because we have a life to live. If you want to be an empowered leader in your home, your church, your community,
yes.
your workplace, then it's got to start with you trying to figure out what's going on. Are you an emotional, intelligent being?
Mm-hmm.
If not, what areas are you weak in?
Wow.
Are there subconscious drivers that's hindering you?
Mm-hmm.
If so, what are they? If you start there, you will begin the journey to be an empowered
yes.
leader, which means you will be an empowered person
mm-hmm.
and achieve your goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it's worth every moment of digging. And sometimes it hurts to see that,
yes.
to see whatever that driver is and where it came from. You got to deal with that stuff.
That you got to.
Yeah.
It's mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth the work it's going to take.
It is.
Because
it really is.
What's the flip side? What's your alternative? Never achieving your goals.
Mm-mm.
Never being the person that you know God meant you to be.
Right.
Never being a person of purpose
mm-hmm.
or destiny.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You will never get there if you have emotional subconscious drivers driving you in the wrong direction, and you are not being an emotionally intelligent, empowered individual
mm.
who knows how to live a life of purpose.
Yes, yes, yes. That's good stuff. You're working that through with some ladies in Woman to Woman right now?
I certainly am.
Mm-hmm.
And we would love to have you all join us. We meet the second Saturday of each month,
mm-hmm.
9 to 11:30. Of course, I stay there until the last person leaves. And if you're interested in joining us, please do give me a call at 404-510-7880. Again, that number is 404-510-7880. And you can definitely check us out on www.com. proverbspeace.org. Proverbspeace.org. We'd love to hear from you.
Awesome, awesome conversation. And we need to talk more about these types of things that's going to push us out of our comfort zones, because that's what this is today.
That's the bottom line.
Dr. Bernita Adams-Robinson joins us this morning. Thank you so much for sharing empowered leadership. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Goodbye, Atlanta.